a stupid neutral point that I had. So there's a detective who hands Gordon the file in this movie. He's the same one who hands Doctor Strange the file on
Oh
Panbor
my
in
fucking
Doctor.
God. Get out of here. Get out of here.
It was
That's
the same guy. I
stressing
had to mention that.
me
I don't
out.
know why. I'm like, yeah, we're gonna mention this. Screw it. I wanted to let you know.
Oh, for like hilarity, speaking of Doctor Strange and like Easter eggs, somebody told me that after Rhodey falls in Civil War, Stephen Strange in that car scene before his accident gets a f like.
No, that's not the same one.
No, that's Rhodey. He talks
No, it's
about.
not. No, it's not.
What do you mean, no, it's not? We heard.
No, because Doctor Strange happens before Civil War.
Does it?
It does. Because the one that he's actually talking about, and I already made that connection before, that's why I know that whole thing that's Rhodey is wrong. It's not Rhodey in his suit that crashes. It's the one that Justin Hammer puts in that suit in Iron Man 2 that spins backwards.
Oh, I don't remember Iron Man 2.
So in Iron Man 2, he's in front of Congress justifying that this is his suit, no one else can have it, you can't have my property, all that other stuff. When they're like, oh, well, other countries and other people are trying to make Iron Man suits, he hijacks the monitors, saying like, well, this is Korea, this is Iran, is that Justin Hammer? And then you see a guy get twisted in half. It's that guy. So yeah, technically Doctor Strange's origin story happens around the same time as Iron Man 2.
Jesus fucking Christ. Damn. All right. Well, I have to inform literally everyone I was watching Civil War with. Ugh.
Sorry. I apologize to burst that bubble on y'all, but
Lame.
timeline wise, yes, that it, you're talking about the wrong guy in the wrong suit.
Welcome to the Movie Masochist Podcast, where two friends try to find the fun in painful films. My name is Kim.
And I am Joby. Greetings, everyone.
Get ready for this crazy, crazy film experience time, because today we are discussing the original, well, is it the original? The
We're gonna
original
say original live action Justice League.
2017 Justice League.
Yes, because original Justice League to us is the cartoon.
Yeah, that's true. Which I still need to like rewatch at some point.
That's true. It was really, really good. I want to see if it still holds up now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or if it's nostalgia blinders. I feel like it still would.
I feel like it would be, like, it would. I feel like their story was definitely more serious and, like, fascinating to me as a kid, but I don't know. This is, like, the complete opposite of how I feel with the movie.
The movie is just something else. Where I was actually literally just talking about this with my dad when he found out that it was a 4-hour movie, like the Snyder Cut. And we mentioned this before. I'm not sure if it's in the intro or not, so I'm going to say it now. The fact that you have 4 hours worth of movie for the Snyder Cut, and I'm pretty sure there was zero reshoots, why did you need to do reshoots for this one and bring in Joss Whedon and all those things? It seems like it was a very unnecessary move.
I totally understand why they need to reshoot, but it's probably because they're aiming for a more like PG-13 friendly type of film. I just think that DC's excuse is that they're trying to pander to the Marvel fans who may or may not know the DC characters, or like they're trying to just kind of parse a story down to like fit a family friendly type of like situation. And that's why there were so many reshoots, because I'm personally expecting like the Snyder Cut to be like balls to the wall, like action packed and like really dark. That's my expectation versus like this Justice League.
Yeah. I'm not even sure how much action pack we're talking. I'm just assuming the storyline is just going to be a lot more different. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to expect. Especially because, you know, that's part of my bad notes with this one was, it's like, there's a lot of story to cover. I'll get into that later, but there's a lot to cover. So for them to be doing a 4-hour movie could possibly do it right. Not to pun it on top of it, but like, it might do it some justice. Who knows?
We'll see in what, like, we'll see in a week, 2 weeks, whenever it comes
A
out.
week, yeah.
At the time of recording, it's like next week.
Yeah, it's coming out the 18th, so it's not that far away. So today's episode is the typical three good, three bad. I do not know what Kim wrote down. They do not know what I wrote down. So this is all going to be a surprise. When we get to the Snyder Cut, there is no teaser. There's nothing like that. All we're going to do is kind of compare the two movies a little bit of like, did they fix the bad things that we have? Did they keep the good things, possibly? Did they add on to the good things? Did they give us more good things, hopefully? And again, within this four-hour movie, hopefully they did.
Fingers crossed.
And is there anything extra that they maybe added that was bad? Who knows?
I don't know if... maybe I'm a little too, like, hopeful for it for whatever reason, but I really think that they can only go up from Justice League 2017.
I think that's why you're hopeful, for the sake of the bar is set so low that all we have to do is be passable.
Right,
it's gonna be fine.
There's still things that I'm kind of like, I'm not too hopeful for. I know you've mentioned like the runtime, and we keep talking about the runtime. It's 4 hours. That's basically double that we watched for Justice League. And it's still like, unless their editing is tight, it's not going to work out well. Like, I'm gonna mention this with my good and bad points. And also, hilariously, I'm going to out myself on this one. I literally watched Avengers, in Avengers 1. I watched Ultron. I also watched Civil War. And I watched Infinity War with director's commentary this weekend.
Ooh. Oh, this weekend?
Yeah, I literally did it last night. So I spent more time watching Avengers.
So you did it in a day.
Yeah, I was...
That sounds like my 4th of July last year. Consider that we couldn't do anything. It was pandemic. It was COVID. We couldn't really do much for 4th of July. So what I did was watch all the Captain America movies.
Oh my god.
Infinity War and Endgame. But also in between, because my family wanted to rewatch it, Hamilton.
That's 3 hours too.
Yeah. So it was just a full day of pretty much like go America in the most nerdy way possible.
You know what? I'm not mad, because I think I did spend 4th of July watching Hamilton. And I've seen the like live, but like watching the play was also really nice to see.
Did you watch it in New York with the original
No,
cast?
I actually watched it in Chicago because it was like my birthday treat for myself like maybe 2 years ago. There was no way in heck I could afford Hamilton tickets in New York, but I found out that if I made a vacation out of it to just go to another city, it's roughly the same amount
for
of money.
For the same price for just that ticket, you could have been in another city.
Yeah, the New York City ticket cost my entire like weekend and a couple days in Chicago. It's insane.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, I watched it live too, and I watched it down in DC.
Ooh.
Because my sister lives down there, and she got like, I think she got like a small discount for it because she was like a member of the theater down there or something like that.
Ooh.
That was her birthday present to me that year.
See, that's nice.
That was dope.
At some point, we have to do a Hamilton episode where we just... I know it's not bad, but, you know.
No, it is fantastic. We can't even say that. It's like, we're gonna find out the good and the bad. I'm like, no, what bad is there? The fact that we couldn't watch this live because we couldn't afford the damn ticket? That's really the only bad I have for that show. There are plenty of other bad movies that we could definitely go for.
Hamilton will never end up on our bad musicals season.
We are not doing a bad musical season. For the sake of, again, I really, really, really want to avoid Cats as much as goddamn possible.
I don't want to watch it. I want my eyeballs to never see it.
If we were to watch it, I really want to do my best to find the non-edited version, because they had that CGI package that came out to kind of fix the movies. I want the original theatrical version. If we're gonna get bad with it, let's get bad with it.
I'm fairly certain the bad CGI is just them with assholes.
Oh, there's more to it. Like, they screwed up and forgot to, like, put CGI over some of their hands.
They did?
Apparently that was part of it. I don't know. But let's not talk about that one. Let's talk about the movie
we're supposed to talk about.
Jesus freaking Christ. So much for staying on point.
This is how much we both probably did not like this film. We can't stay on topic.
Yeah, this one was, there was a lot more bad. It was a lot rougher than I ever remembered.
Oh, the reason why I actually brought up that I watched Avengers is that I actually found out some answers to questions of ours about DC stuff. Well, not DC stuff, but like what Avengers is doing.
Oh, during those times, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can just start with that so you get it out of the way and get all the Marvel talk out.
Yeah, sure.
When I was listening to the very end of, like, Infinity War's director, like, commentary, they mentioned that they work with pretty much every vendor for VFX out there to get all of the VFX for Infinity War. That is about 15 to 20 vendors. So that's a lot. I now need to figure out what number it is for DC, because if they're working with pretty much everyone at Marvel, and they've consistently worked with them for, like, X amount of years, I want to know what the relationship is for DC and, like, theirs. Like, who are they working with? Are they working with the same people? Who else is out there?
Yeah, or when they work with Marvel, they're like, we will give you our business every time we have a movie that comes up, but you need to sign a non-compete clause.
Right, that's
the so, which would completely screw over DC in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious if that would be part of it. I wouldn't know how to go about finding that out, but...
So it's IMDb research, I think. It's you see it in the, credit sequence, mm-hmm. who, every person that has, touched the film in some way, it's there. It's just a matter of, just pausing at the right time and just, seeing it. But that's what I've learned about Marvel, is that they work with pretty much everyone in VFX.
Yeah, we really need a deep dive on this, because this is the third DC movie that we talked about, and the third time we're figuring out what did they do in their CGI department to do all these things.
I'm still... Maybe this is, one of my... Do we want to start with good or bad?
We should definitely start with good.
Okay. And then I'm going to have to, sideswipe my entire, conversation on that. Do you want to start, or should I start with good?
I started every single one for the Electra one, so why don't you start with all the ones for this one?
Okay, I'm going to go in as much chronological order as I can, because I feel like that makes a difference. I thought that their music cues were really good. They use a lot of their, what is it, hero intros. I specifically remember Wonder Woman's when she is on top of Lady Justice in London.
Yeah.
I also really, really love the opening song when they started, showing Superman's death, or, post-death.
Yeah.
I don't know what that song title is. I forgot to look that up.
Is this Hans Zimmer again?
Is it Hans Zimmer? No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think he did the score for this one, but it's whoever did Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans.
I don't know composers all that well, too.
It's Hans Zimmer. But they're memorable for me because, at least, that opening, the second opening sequence. I hated the first opening sequence. With the vertical
video. With
the
little kid. Yeah. I mean, it was a choice. One of my bad parts was the opening sequence.
I feel like I walked away with more questions than needed to be, but did they start or end the last DCEU film with vertical video or whatever? What's going on there?
I don't know, but I also look at it it's two 12-year-old kids doing a thing, so they're not gonna know any better.
They're just walking up to Superman.
Yeah, to have the balls enough to go up to Superman, can we ask you some questions? And fight about what questions to ask him right in front of him. I'm like, all right, this is a thing. Why are we doing this? All right.
We'll get back to that bad point. Maybe it's my bias of kind of enjoying the white stripes, but I did love that they use the white stripes with Arthur when he saves the person. Walking away. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's such a great choice to show off the kind of person that he is.
Yeah.
And then past that, I'm like, I don't know what's going on in this film anymore. So, that's my somewhat stretch of a good point.
Interesting. It's funny because as much as I know that music really does make movies a lot more memorable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even just talking about movies where they really lean into the soundtrack. Things like Baby Driver or Guardians of the Galaxy where it's really laced into the storytelling. But it changes everything when you put a little bit of a score behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was just so overwhelmed with other parts of this movie that didn't really trigger in my head at all. But that was a good point. They did a really good job at queuing things up for specific characters to give you the vibe of what the characters are supposed to be like.
I can't wait to tell you my negative point or bad point because I think the only character that I really had a grasp on is Diana at that point. Or that, at time of watching, it's I needed to find something to get me to, be into the other characters.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I guess I'll go into my good point of, and I think this is a bit of my stretch, too, of the Flash was really needed as a comic relief.
Oh, no, we're gonna, double up on Flash.
Oh, sorry, yep.
No, No, you first.
If you want to add on to whatever I'm saying, but, he was, the fact that we were talking about that earlier, where they're trying to make this a little bit more kid-friendly,
mm-hmm.
even though it's, a little bit dark and brooding at times. We need a little bit of a ray of sunshine in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you have the Flash, who pretty much besides his scenes with his dad, doesn't have a single serious line in the movie besides when he's kind of freaking out before the first battle, every single one of his lines is pretty much as a punchline.
Yeah.
To have that laced in with everything else that was going on, with all the drama, with all this, like, again, like, the dark and brooding type energy that was happening, he was a really good comic relief behind it.
Yes.
Although, it does get into one of my questionable moments of a forced comedic moment, which I'm like, did you really have to do this?
Ooh, what's that?
When he's left behind on the rooftop with Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
Like, did we need that part?
That's an extra, like, what, 15 seconds on the clock?
Not even looking at the timestamp. It was just, like, I kind of wish that they also commented back on that later, because when he first meets Bruce Wayne and finds out that he's Batman, and he goes into this little monologue of, like, everyone else is just a little bit too slow for me. And then for him to be the one left behind, but then they don't touch back on that previous line, I'm like, you guys tried to make a moment, but you also missed a chance to.
Oh, you're right. I wasn't thinking about that. He's supposed to be fast, and how did everyone else disappear?
I mean, it was a cute little moment. I'm pretty sure in the theaters I gave it a little chuckle, but now I'm just like,
you're looking at it with a little bit more of a discerning eye.
I know. I feel like they missed a chance for him to kind of be like, I am where I'm supposed to be, when he is now the one who needs to step up his game, you know? But no, he was a lot of fun. And also the fact that, like, I actually really liked Ezra Miller going into it, because I love the movie Perks of Being a Wallflower, and he was really good in that.
Yeah, I really love Perks of Being a Wallflower. That was the first movie I've ever seen them in, and it is a good time. I wouldn't say I'm, like, the most attached to Flash in this film, though. But I agree that Barry is the comic relief. But I'm questioning if, like, there was too much comic relief.
With him?
Yeah. With Barry, like, I don't know if, like, the writing for Barry was, like, too much on, like, one side, and, like, he's so one-note.
Yeah, that's fair. No, that's absolutely fair, in that there should be more layers if you're gonna have him be a main character. Even if you're a supporting character, you should have layers.
Right.
Like, he had it a little bit, but just not enough to really justify him being, like, a super big role.
Right.
You know, it was a little bit one-note at times, so I agree with that.
Well, speaking already of Barry, like, that is also, like, my second good point, because I did appreciate that they showcase the heck out of Barry's powers, and
yeah,
the introduction with, like, Batman throwing the weapon, and then he's just like, oh, I'm just gonna slip out and catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was really neat to show, like, the two aspects of his, like, powers at the time, where it's like, the first time you see it in the prison, it's like, it's a blink and you'll miss it.
Yeah.
I slowed down the footage of when he, like, draws on the next guy, and, like, it's there. It's, like, in the frames of him, like, going in and out.
Ooh,
of, like,
interesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's truly a blink and you'll miss it moment. Like, it was a good little moment to be like, oh, yeah, this is the Flash's powers. And then the next time you see him is, like, this is the extent of, like, oh, he is moving in a completely different, like, what is it, dimension? It's not a dimension, but
He called it the Speed Force, right?
Speed, yeah, something like that. For me, it was, like, a nice way to show and not tell.
Right. Oh, so this is one of my neutral points, and it does go along with what you were saying, but they mostly did a really good job in the quick speed-up sequences. So, like, with the Flash running, where, like, everything's really slowed down, but, like, he's also going at logical pace,
mm-hmm,
as to what's going on. Like, when he speeds up and then Superman's kind of, like, staring him down. That was actually a really cool moment.
That was freaky.
Superman's a little slower, like, just slow enough that he's going to dodge, but also fast enough that he could possibly catch your ass.
Yeah, like, I think in that fight sequence, there's one moment where Flash dodges, but dodges poorly and lands into Superman's, like, arm, so Superman is still able to just, like, push him back.
Oh, I looked at it as, like, he swung and missed, and with Flash trying to push off of him, he pushed off of a brick wall and sent himself back.
Oh.
But again, they did a lot of really good things with the speed-up sequences until the end of the movie, when you see him running through the street, and I'm like, why is his arms flailing like that? And
oh yeah, what is this running?
You see his arms and legs moving, but, like, the background doesn't fit at all. It's just very confusing as to what was going on. It was basically going back to Wonder Woman 84 of her running did not match what was happening with the movements in the background.
I feel like, because this is, like, I'm sorry for throwing it back to something so recent, but when I was watching the WandaVision finale, I did notice that, like, there are some moments where it's just really awkward to see a normal person try to do a superhero pose, but I'm now up to forgiving it in the way that's, like, we're trying to do superhuman things in a movie, but, like, it just doesn't look right in a way. But I forgive Barry more than I do Wonder Woman in WW84.
That's fair. Okay. I mean, they were doing a great job at it the entire movie until that one scene. I'm like, why didn't you just keep up what you were doing before? But that was my first good point. It was that also your second good point? Are you keeping up with that one?
I'm staying with Barry being my second point, okay. Only because, like, out of all of the characters that we are following in this film, Barry is the only one that I'm like, this is how I feel like most folks would react if they're in a situation like this.
That's fair, yeah.
He's the audience sub. I don't know what the actual phrase is, but, like, he is the in-world version of the audience member. Of sorts.
Okay, yeah. I think I know what you're trying to go with. I don't know if there's an actual term for
there
it.
There is, and I can't think of it.
I kind of get it. Alright. So I guess my second point is another character. And surprisingly, and this is where...
Gal Gadot!
No, it's not, actually. It's really not. As much as I love her, she was just neutral in this movie, where I'm like, there's nothing really spectacular out of it, but also nothing really jarring.
Hmm.
And that was the same with everyone across the board. Same with Ray Fisher, same with Jason Momoa, same with Ben Affleck. Everyone was just fair. Like, I guess out of all the characters, I guess The Flash kind of stood out the most because he was the most different out of all of them. But another one who kind of stood out a little bit was I actually really liked Jeremy Irons as Alfred.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I liked him as Alfred, and it was the fun plane banter when, like, the first time, like, they're flying in the beginning of the movie with him and Ben Affleck. I wasn't sure if this was what they were going for, but it was the same kind of vibes as, like, the Jarvis Tony Stark kind of.
Yes. That's definitely the vibe I got, too.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure, like, you know, Michael Caine kind of did that a little bit with Christian Bale. I don't remember the original Alfred, not the original Alfred, but the Alfred in, like...
90s?
Yeah, the 90s versions. I don't remember that one that well. But, again, to have, like, everyone really serious in this movie, there's just no banter. There's just no, like, connection between the people besides... We're all dealing with this one thing. Let's deal with this one thing. And then you have the extra layer of Jeremy Irons trying to, like, coax him into, like, why am I going to call her? Shouldn't you call her? You have her number. You should do it. Kind of, like, poking at him. Be like, yeah, she's really pretty. You should go shoot your shot, man. And he continues that kind of quality with every character. With Diana when she's using the computer system. With Cyborg when he takes over that the Nightcrawler. Like, he kind of continues that kind of vibe with everyone. So I'm like, oh no, this is just your personality, this is your character trait. So that's pretty nice.
He
like
stays
that.
On point to who he is.
Exactly.
And yeah. I totally see your point.
It's not just with the one person. So I'm like, that's solid, good job.
No flip-floppy.
Yeah, so there's my second good point. Really, really minor, but he was fun. I liked him on screen.
Look, if there's at least one good character actor in these films, I feel like that's something to hold on to, because a lot of the times, if no one's doing a good performance, like, it's already bad.
For sure, yeah.
I keep thinking about the 2015 Fantastic Four, where it's just like, none of the characters to me stood out long enough for me to like any of them.
Yeah, exactly. So to have this be a relatively star-studded cast as well, to have a few people shine in that moment, I'm like, all right, cool. You did a good job. I have another one that's part of my bad points, which I'll talk about later. So let's finish up the good points. You got one more to go, right?
Yeah, I have one left, and this is the ultimate stretch. I did not hate the Amazon's, like, box sequence. Except for, like, Steppenwolf coming in and, like, fighting everyone. I did enjoy, like, hip-hop, like, butchering her name, Hippolyta, like, grabbing the box and then doing the baton race with it. Like, it was a fun time to, like, watch that sequence in whole. And then, unfortunately, by the time, like, literally all the Amazons got there, he has the box and it's done. But for me, maybe it's my bias. I loved watching Wonder Woman and seeing these characters again. I think that's why I was, like, very attached to that scene. Versus, like, what is the other introduction to the other box? I almost said Iron Man.
Atlantis.
Atlantis. Aquaman. Too many mans. Too many mans.
A lot of mans. Batman, Aquaman, Superman.
Yeah, too many mans in this one movie alone. But with Aquaman, I was just not attached to, like, how Steppenwolf grabbed the box sequence there. It wasn't as, like, enticing to me, even though I wanted to like Arthur as a character, too.
Mm-hmm. I like Arthur as a character, and I'm glad that, all in all, he had a little bit more of an arc where, like, you saw a lot of different sides of him, but they were all just little teasers to it. So, like, him trying to be mysterious in the beginning, and then this is actually one of my questionable moments of he calls Bruce by name, and he also calls him Batman at the same time.
Is that in front of everyone?
Yeah. I'm like, Is this just him being a dick, or is Bruce Wayne's identity no longer secret?
I had a question about that specifically, because it was like, wait, do all the people in the town speak English? Like, how many languages do these folks know in this house? Because they're speaking one language that,
They're, like, speaking Icelandic, and then they're also speaking in English. A couple of them.
But, like, I know Arthur throws it in Icelandic, and it's like, they all laugh at the joke. So I'm like, hold on, one second. How many people are recording this conversation in secret and putting this on YouTube?
So the whole thing was a little curious, and also I'm thinking, not everyone knows who Bruce Wayne is, and I'm answering my own question, considering Barry Allen didn't. He talking to Bruce Wayne, gets the Batarang, and he's like, you're the Batman. And it's kind of like an epiphany for him, so not everyone knows. His identity is still secret. So I'm to believe that was just Aquaman being a dick. So I'm like, that was pretty fun, alright. And also him being a dick was...
enjoyable.
It was also enjoyable, but also no, there was one moment where I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Why would you have a character do this? Oh. Just because we have an epic slow motion scene, and there's a lot of slow motion in that movie too, by the way. But
was there slow motion?
There was a lot of slow motion in that movie.
Oh, I didn't.
But there's one moment where he's slow-mo chugging this bottle of whiskey and smashing the bottle on the dock. I'm like, dude, your friends are in the ocean. Why are you gonna smash this and let the glass go into the ocean? This doesn't make sense at all.
Ooh, bad character arc,
but
I guess.
Whatever, man. That's not even part of my bet. That's part of nothing. That was just something I literally just thought of right now.
That's okay.
But I guess that brings me to my last good point of... Wait, were you done with your...
Yeah, it was very quick. No, it's fine. It's just very quick. I really just enjoyed the Amazons, but I'm pretty sure that was biased.
That's fair. That was part of my bad moments, actually. Like, it went into the logistics of it. I can jump into that.
Oh,
later,
I can't wait. I love hearing your logistics
so
issues.
So many logistical issues. But yes, one of my good moments, actually one of my favorite moments, it was still ingrained in my brain, and I knew it was going to be one of my points going into it, was Aquaman sitting on the Lasso of Truth. I love that part.
That is hilarious.
It was hysterical. It was so good. It's like, we're all probably going to die. I don't want to die. Like, that was the thing. So, like, when you have these characters who are supposed to be gods, and they're almost invincible, so to have that moment of humanity where they're like, oh no, I'm worried.
Yeah.
I have a lot to do, man. I'm young. I don't want to die. You? You're gorgeous. I know where people hate each other, but we should get together. I'm like, that's fantastic. Finally, like, out of all you guys, how is no one trying even just to shoot your shot with literally a goddess?
Yeah. I mean, Bruce did at some point, but...
Sort of.
Even, yeah. Alfred was like, you have her number, you can call her, Bruce.
Exactly. That moment was fantastic. And also to have...
They played that so well.
Yeah. To have another character besides the Flash be that comedic moment, good job. And also sets him up for his own movie, because in Aquaman, he is kind of snarky. Like, they let him kind of run with being a little bit more playful in Aquaman.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, did you not see that yet?
I'm really bad at watching the DCEU films. I am truly only invested in Wonder Woman. I mean, I watched Henry Cavill's Superman, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Like, the DCEU basically saved themselves for me with Wonder Woman, but, like, it has not reached that level since.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, I'm always gonna pull for Shazam. That's my two cents, but that movie wasn't perfect either.
I want to know where that fits in their film universe. Does it fit in
their
film?
It is, yeah, because they reference all of their stuff. One of the kids is a nerd, and he has a Batarang. He has a bullet that was certified to be shot as Superman. He has that as a collectible.
That's cool.
They reference a few things in that movie. They're going to tie it all in together at some point. I just don't know when. I don't know how.
They're still dealing with having this whole Snyder Cut, like, nonsense happening. I feel like one Snyder Cut is, like, out there in the universe, it will affect the rest of their universe.
I mean, we'll see. Maybe they will even make the Snyder Cut the canon and be like, let's forget about what we did in 2017. Let's keep this one because y'all like this one a lot more. So we're going to run with this. Who knows? But that was actually... there's things I can say, but you start with yours.
I'll start with my bad points. Okay.
We can get right into the bad points already, considering I feel like we're in that mindset as it is.
We struggled to get through the good points. I feel like I talked ad nauseum about, like, as much as I could with my good points.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be horrendous with the bad points. Again, chronological order of, like, how we're starting this off. The way they introduced everyone is so disjointed. Every scene with people being introduced only serves one purpose. And I think that's like a writing failure for them, especially for an ensemble film, because you were so limited on time. I don't know if I was supposed to grow attached to the random janitor that Victor's father meets, and then like two scenes later, like he gets apparently taken, and then also like his wife gets shown on screen. Like the first time I watched the movie, I didn't realize that they were talking about that guy.
Right.
And at the same time, it's like, why were we introduced to Diana in a way where she's already showing off her powers again? Like, if we've already seen her film, we know what her power set is. We already know what the lasso can do. Why do we need another refresher?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that one for her. I was just thinking more of the fact that you're introducing three superheroes. You got The Flash, you got Aquaman, you got Cyborg.
Here's the other thing. They had to actually introduce four things. They had to also introduce Steppenwolf, yeah, too. So that's too many things.
You have to give each one of them a little bit of backstory. Right. And now tapping into the MCU of it all, you didn't have other movies to set up their backstory. But at the same time, you kind of didn't need to. But like, if you're looking at, let's say, the first Avengers movie, right? We were introduced to Black Widow, but we never got a full backstory. We didn't need to get a full backstory for her. Same thing with Hawkeye.
He made a cameo in Thor.
He was a 5-minute cameo in Thor, and then he was in the Avengers, and that was it. That's all he needed.
Yeah.
So I guess one thing that they did with this one was give everyone kind of like, all right, everyone's gonna be important in some way, shape, or form. We do need to bring all six of you together. Sort of.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say sort of because that's going to get into one of my bad points.
You and I are going to have the same bad point because that already sounds like one of my bad points.
Yeah.
Oh my god, we have so much agreement this episode. This is insane.
Yeah. This is a new one for us. That's interesting. It took us till Justice League to be like, oh hey, we're together on our thoughts.
Shit. We're not bringing anything new to the table. We're just in agreement.
I mean, I got plenty of bad tosses out there, so it's not a big deal.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Truly, just going back to it, like, there's so much time wasted in this film that they could have used to interact with characters more, and maybe it could have been more helpful. My writer brain is not working at this moment, but, like, the way that they had, like, Diana interact with Victor at one point, I'm like, oh, that could have happened, like, maybe 20 minutes earlier to talk about his whole backstory versus like having to meet Victor's dad and then talk about the accident and like set it up that way. Even with like Barry and his dad, there's a lot of dads in this film. What's going on?
They Disneyed it and cut off all the moms. I don't know.
I mean, also Arthur and his mom. They talk about parents so many times in this film.
That's true. And it's always a singular parent, mind you.
Does Alfred count as a parent? Parental figure?
No. No, but they talked about Bruce Wayne's parents way too much in Batman vs. Superman, so...
Oh, you know, Martha.
Y'all don't need to touch none of that. Oh my god, I hated that bit so much in that one.
I know. I cannot believe that they really bonded over Martha. I also just realized, isn't Hippolyta Diana's mom?
Yeah, exactly.
too many parents.
Every single time, it was a single parent. Like, they mentioned, oh yeah, Barry's mom was killed by the dad. Cyborg's mom was killed in that accident. The mystery of Aquaman's heritage is discovered in Aquaman. Same thing with Diana. Like, her stuff is talked about in her movie. But yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of parent talk because also you brought back in Diane Lane. Is that her? Oh no, I feel like I'm wrong. Oh, wait. I have tabs up. Martha Kent was played by...
Martha Kent! Martha Kent.
Diane Lane. Yeah.
All right.
I was right. Okay, good. I was right with Diane Lane. All right, we're fine. Yeah, lots of parents talk.
So much parents.
Especially with the whole mother box thing. Like, mom talk. Yay.
Can I just ask a very dumb question? Mother box, right? That's not literally his mom, right?
I was a little confused on that too. I wasn't entirely sure. I don't think it was. And then like, but they were also saying that like he went a little crazy.
Yeah.
So maybe that was him kind of like going senile, that he thought it was his mother. I don't think it was. Like, it's not like they were saying like, we're going to put these three boxes together. She's going to come out of the box and destroy the world. No, we don't. It was a very messy thing. So obviously one of my big things is the logistics to this movie.
Here it is.
And I guess to kind of piggyback off of what we're just talking about, introducing Steppenwolf as the big bad and his entire plot, the whole thing was really disjointed. It was really weird. First off, the mother box thing was explained 30 minutes into this movie. So we were still sitting there kind of questioning, like,
yes, what the heck is it? What are these three boxes?
He's going on this search for, like, based on these cave drawings, essentially, from Lex Luthor's notes. But we're still in the dark, too. So what the heck is going on at this point? It took to even further into the movie to explain what exactly they were all supposed to do.
What do you mean?
So, like, what did these boxes do, right? And I said, you put them together, and it's going to turn the Earth into his world. Like, that's sustainable to him, but everyone else is going to get wiped off the planet in the process.
See, for some reason, that never dawned on me. All I understood was that it will cause the destruction of Earth. I didn't realize that it would turn it into his world.
Yeah, but this whole plot created a lot of plot holes and a lot of problems. Either that they kind of explained in a quick sentence or two, but still, it was just like, it still bugged me of when they first came to Earth. It was like 1,000 years ago. They came to Earth and they had this big battle between Amazons, Atlanteans, Green Lanterns helped. You have humans in the mix and all these other things. Now that he's back, what is stopping everyone from doing this again? Why is it only you six or five that turned into six because y'all did things? Why is no one else thinking of a thing? Like, you attacked Atlantis. Why are they not jumping up to help too? The Amazons of Themyscira, like, that you actually have to kind of just know lore of DC, of they can't leave that island.
They're stuck.
Yeah, they're stuck.
Okay, but they explain this, though. They said this in about, like, maybe 15 seconds, that the Atlanteans are stuck. And they're also stuck, too? Like, they're hiding.
Why are they still hiding? There's a cataclysmic world-ending event. Wouldn't you want to try to save the world that you're part of?
I don't know. You know, it's not me. I'm not an Atlantean. I can't answer this question. So, Diana explains. She says something more specific, but, like, Atlanteans may or may not be stuck. Amazons, stuck. Humans?
Don't know of the danger.
They not only don't know, but Bruce Wayne says, like, something very cynical and very on point for his character, that, like, man cannot band together in the same way to, like, defeat this evil. So it has to be them six.
So, they did mention it real quick, but it was just, like, the explanation just didn't feel like enough. We're like, okay, cool. Why didn't you bring in more Green Lanterns? You could have done that.
Where is Green Lantern? Where is Green Lantern?
Doesn't exist because the movie flopped, so they didn't want to bring him back in. Essentially, that's what we kind of have to look at it. But then also, it's like, they didn't explain as to why it took him this long to come back for them. He knows where they are. He knows they're on Earth.
Why did it take for Superman to die for him to do it? Did he know about Superman?
So the whole thing about Superman dying, it was a really weird thing. I'm like, did it really affect the world that much? Like, did it really put, like, such a doom and gloom on the world that much that, oh no, these magically now have more power because this feels like the right time to do this? That was very, very confusing in the sense that, like, this is all supposed to be 2 years after Batman versus Superman. The world has been mourning for 2 years.
I didn't realize it was 2 years. I would have given it, like, 6 months.
No.
He revived him after 2 years.
2 years. Yeah, so that was the thing. They also mentioned, like, oh no, his body is of different material. Like, it's not going to decay. He's just going to be there.
That is too... You know how we do stretches? That feels like too much of a stretch.
I know. So there's, like, a whole lot of problems with it.
I'm not going to be unstuck on that knowledge now. 2 years?
Yeah. But also, it's like, there is a whole problem in the fact that, and I know this is jumping around a lot, but this is all involving Steppenwolf, of what was exactly teleporting him back and forth?
The Bifrost.
That was the thing. Like, essentially, it was the Bifrost. Who fucking knows? But to me, I'm like, was it the Mother Box doing these things?
But hold on, it cannot be the Mother Box.
So the thing is, they mention it real quick. It is a quick line, and they mention the name once.
Oh no.
They mentioned the name Darkseid.
Oh yes. Okay.
But they don't touch base on that ever again. They don't even do that in, like, the ending clip and, like, the post credit clip. Like, if you could have done it once of, like, seeing him teleport him back and forth between places, that would have made a whole lot more sense. But then it was still just very confusing. It's like, oh, you got the box, let's teleport you out of there. You got the box, let's teleport you out of there. You got the box, teleport you out of there.
Also, couldn't he have, like, now I'm thinking of the scene with the Amazons, he was about this close to the box. Couldn't he have just, like, teleported all of those Amazons and the box and then leave?
Yeah. I don't know why he had to have it in hand and then get beamed up out of there.
Yeah.
But that was also another problem that I had with that specific scene, in that you guys have your weapons drawn and pointed at this box. A dude comes into a secured location, gets beamed down, and starts talking about, like, a greater purpose of needing this box. And you guys are still not firing yet until a swarm of bug people come down? Like, why did you wait so long to do this?
Bad logistics.
Exactly. Bad logistics.
We needed to get more plot, man.
There's just a whole lot of problems with it. Steppenwolf, like, they didn't really explain him, like, ever. He just kind of shows up and you have to wait that whole lot of time until you get the explanation.
Yes. I think that's also, like, my frustration with Steppenwolf as a villain, where it's like, we've never met him before. We don't know what his power levels are. And when is the first time we actually meet him? Is it in
Themyscira?
Yeah, it's in Themyscira, right?
Yeah.
He just shows up, and I'm like, huh? This is the big bad? Like, I guess the whole first act is literally introducing everyone.
Yes.
And that is too much time. And it just goes back to my point of, like, too many scenes are too disjointed.
Yeah.
That it's like, it doesn't work to introduce everyone. Like, I don't, like, have any attachments to anyone.
This movie is so all over the place that in us explaining and having problems with this movie, it is very all over the place as well. I just noticed that, like, my brain jumped to so many different parts of this movie in this explanation that it's, like, I'm confusing myself. It's ridiculous.
I don't know where we are anymore.
So you're doing a very good job of, like, let me start from the beginning and, like, go chronologically, because I fucked that up horribly and now I'm lost in my own notes.
No, that's okay. I wanted to go chronologically.
I think I'm going to stop at that point with Steppenwolf. There's just a lot of things we had to explain between him and the plot, and also them still trying to use this to set up other things in the future, aka Darkseid. We still don't know, like, how he was getting control like that. We just accepted the fact that he was getting, you know, beamed down and out of these locations, but
we had to suspend our belief.
Even then, I'm like, it just, logistically, it didn't make sense. It's like, you just saw your dude get beat. You're gonna wait till he's getting smothered by your bug creatures, and now you're gonna beam him up with the rest of them. Like, that, like, no, just take him out. You can leave them there. Like, who cares? They're minions. Who gives a shit? If it was Darkseid that was doing all this.
It's just frustrating.
Yeah, so
I'm honestly still curious. I mean, I'm pretty sure we're gonna get this for Snyder Cut, but, like, we'll see Darkseid. I've heard that we'll see Darkseid.
I pray that we do. And
because I don't even know who the heck
I know is. For sure we see something else that I was hoping to see in this movie.
Ooh.
Not even for sure. I'm gonna say 90% sure that we do. Because again, that from that one woman in Batman Beyond, she says that something makes an appearance in that version. And I'm like, yes, that should have been there. Fuck you for not.
Can't wait to see what it is then.
I will mention that when it comes up again, but your second bad point.
Hold on, I have to, like, look through my notes. Okay. I guess this is still plot, but, like, my next bad thing is that nothing truly brings everyone together. There's no critical point that everyone agrees on that will be like, oh, we're a team now. Like, during my second viewing, I was, like, thinking about who actually wants Superman back? And is it just Bruce?
It's 50-50.
It's just Bruce. Is it all 50-50?
Diana says no. Cyborg says, I crunched the numbers while you guys were arguing, and this will work.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he wants him back. There's no...
I mean, if he
it's
didn't...
not truly,
I'm just thinking,
like,
if he didn't want him back, he wouldn't have added that little bit of information.
He's neutral. I feel like the only person that wanted Superman back is Bruce.
Yeah.
Because, like, even, like, 30 seconds before Barry touches the box, Aquaman just goes... Yeah, I agree with Diana.
Now that we're here, it's a bad idea. Like, wait, what?
Why would you say that now? Like, for me, I just could not believe that these people could work together long enough.
Mm.
Even, like, Arthur, he, like, just comes out of nowhere and just saves the day for folks for, like, 2 seconds. And it's still, like, not enough of a motivator for me that it feels believable that they're a team.
Right. Even after reviving Superman, they're at each other's throats still. Like,
right.
He's like, do we even trust this guy? Like, he just tried to attack Superman. How are we going to trust he's not working for them?
Right.
And then, like, they brought up the idea that Cyborg might not be trustworthy and then never go anywhere with it.
Right.
Also to the fact that you really didn't have too much time to go anywhere with it, so maybe that's why, but...
They spent so much time building up Cyborg in the way that he's like, I'm a brooding teenager.
Yeah.
Like, I'm changing every single day, but, like, I never grew attached to the problems of him, because again, I just feel like this movie sometimes just does a lot of telling instead of showing.
Yeah.
And they spend so much time on it that it's just like, we don't have any space to do anything else.
Yeah, I think they definitely bit off too much going into this movie, where there's too much to explain, to the point where now that we need to tell more story, we don't really have the space to do it.
I actually have a question that I feel like this is partially in, like, the controversies of going into, like, Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Who is, like, the middle of the story? Like, who is at the heart of the story? Because I'm thinking of it, like, in Avengers, the heart of the story of Avengers is Phil Coulson.
Yeah.
And for this one, I'm like, is it supposed to be Cyborg? But they didn't spend so much time on Cyborg.
I think it was supposed to be Cyborg, but there was also that controversy of, like, they didn't want a brooding black guy to be the forefront of this movie, so they just kind of scrapped a bunch of things.
Yeah, that's my, like, frustration for it.
I also think it was supposed to be Superman a little bit, because technically, if you look at it, like, this should have been kind of like a trilogy for him.
Mm.
You have Man of Steel, where you first get introduced. You have the next one in Batman vs. Superman, where it's technically his sequel plus the intro to Batman. And then now it's like the world is still stuck on Superman. And this problem cannot be solved without Superman. So I feel like he is, despite, you know, trying to make the most human character to be the one who is not technically human.
Right. So, for me, that's like a little bit of frustration, because it, like, just goes back to, like, nothing brings the team together. Like, if it's supposed to be Superman at the middle of it, people aren't agreeing with Bruce. People don't want to bring back Clark. And it's constantly just being disjointed and just, like, no one's meshing. And that's the opposite of a team.
I mean, even with the Avengers, like, the death of Phil Coulson is what galvanized Stark and Captain America together, but that whole speech that Fury gives them was really just to Stark and Rogers. That was it. Because Thor got blasted off the plane, so did Banner. Black Widow is in the med bay with Hawkeye, so really it's just them who hears this story. And then what brings them all together is the fact there is this huge wormhole in the middle of Manhattan. No one else is going to stop this but us, because here we are. We were brought together to start this thing. Let's actually do this.
I think for Marvel's sake, those are their two tentpoles, like Cap and Iron Man. And the trajectory of, like, the MCU, you know, like, with their backstory already, like, they establish it within the Avengers, hilariously, that Nat and Clint, they already know each other, they're established, they'll work together. Bruce, I'm kind of like, where are you coming from, man? Like, you want to do the good thing, but also, like, you're having your Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde issues.
Yeah.
And Thor, I think he's just very one note, and he doesn't really feel like he's part of the team until, like, past Loki's death. Like, I'm thinking of it in, like, terms of, like, Ragnarok. He's like, oh my god, it's Bruce, friend from work. Like, they're all co-workers, but, like, they're friendly enough with each other, and they don't have to be, like, the best of friends, but, like, they're willing to work with each other. And I think that's the main difference that I have been seeing, at least with, like, Justice League, where it's like, they're working together. They may or may not have witty banter, but it's like, are they only bonded by the issue of Steppenwolf? And then, like, that's it? Like, the bonds are so weak that I can't believe it. And yet, by the end of the film, they're creating the Justice League. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah, no, I agree. There wasn't really much. And I guess to that point, this really kind of plays into one of my bad points of, you really kind of didn't need to bring them all together. You did to an extent of, like, okay, we just need to revive Superman. But once Superman is revived, I mean, he really could have just handled Steppenwolf himself. And the only one who was really necessary was Cyborg to pull apart the mother boxes. You know, like, I think that was a really big issue with me. And I'm going to make this one my second bad point of, if not for Superman, they would have failed. They for sure would have lost.
Yeah. I agree.
Did they do what was necessary to win in the end? Yeah. Were they all also really necessary to win? No. Like, in my head, if it was a Superman and Cyborg, I'll handle the big guy, you handle the boxes. Once he's in the floor, then I will come and help you. That's really all you needed.
Yeah. I just think, I'm curious why Steppenwolf really just failed to Superman, and that's it.
I don't really know. It's kind of hard to tell. Like, so he came back to life, and he's still kind of questioning. Like, that was a weird thing. That was a weird
arc. He's not in the mindset.
Yeah, that was a weird arc of, like, why is he not overly ready to like help them out, and then it took this conversation with Lois to bring him back to it.
Can I just mention that I hate that her whole arc in this film is literally to be Superman's girlfriend, and that's it. Like, I don't get anything else from her, even if Martha Kent goes like, you have the nose for like a story. But it's like, the whole conversation with them is literally still about Clark.
It's about him. And everything pretty much revolving in her life has been about him. Yeah, that was a little weird. And that was also, I'm like, it was surprising how much screen time she still got with all that happening, too.
I mean, they needed an excuse to get her in there. So they showed her at, like, the beginning, too. Like, her mourning at the funeral, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what they could have changed. But one of my bad points, I guess, like, honorable mention of, like, real quick, was they had J.K. Simmons this movie and just did nothing with him.
Oh, my God. That's the worst.
You really just have him in the precinct and on top of the rooftop. Those were his two scenes and that was it. But like, you brought in like a really big actor for what could be a really big role, because Gordon's a big role in Batman, but yeah, they didn't really go anywhere with it.
They could bring him back for something else.
But they're not going to go anywhere with it, considering now we have a different Batman again. It was just a waste.
That I think is a waste. Yeah, I agree. It's truly a waste because I'm like thinking about, what is it, Whiplash? I always think about J.K. Simmons in Whiplash because that is some of the most intense acting I have ever seen from someone. And it's like, you could have subbed him for somebody else and it would have been the same. And that's the worst part. Was that your, like, honorable mention, good point, bad point?
Yeah,
bad
so my
point?
Honorable mention, well, my honorable mention bad point was the lack of J.K. Simmons. My second bad point was the fact that, you know, everyone wasn't all that necessary. Mm. After you revived Superman, it was just, you just need Superman and Cyborg. That was it.
See, my next, like, bad point, I think, just goes into that too, but, like, more focused on Batman himself, who is supposed to be, like, the person that brings everyone together. He's the most useless character in this whole film. Like, the way that I'm thinking about it the most is, like, in all of the fights, he just gets thrown around. And, like, I just don't understand how I'm supposed to root for you or, like, be attached to you as, like, somebody who is, like, a superhero if you are immediately getting, like, knocked the fuck out.
Well, I think that kind of plays into the whole, like, kind of like the whole thing of the beginning of the movie where it's like, oh, we had gods and men and this and that. It's like, okay, well, he's representing the men because he's the only actual human. Well, sort of, when the Flash has superpowers and Cyborg is part cyborg, so, like, no, I've always kind of made that thought, too, and it pisses off a lot of Batman fans.
I know.
Any Batman stan would be like, you guys are assholes, you guys don't get it. I don't. It's like, going into Batman versus Superman, if he really wanted to kill him, he would have been dead. Like, oh, well, if he had 3 months to plan, he'll beat everyone. Like, you know, technically, that is a thing in the comics, where he has a contingency plan for if any one of the members of the Justice League turned evil.
That's smart.
He has, yeah.
Like, that's smart. I can appreciate that.
So, like, and one thing that they really played into is the fact that he's supposed to be the world's greatest detective. And he kind of does that a little bit where, like, he has the notes of Luthor and he's trying to piece together what the hell these things are. So you kind of give a little bit of that. You kind of get a little bit of like, despite
him, there's genre, like, there's genre crossing. But if you didn't mention that, that tidbit about Batman would not have been, like, at the forefront of my brain. I know he is, like, that is his story, mm-hmm. but I feel like people have not really focused on that aspect of Batman, like him being a detective, because it just feels like what everyone focuses on is that he is a vigilante. And that's it. Versus a detective. For me, Batman is like, he's outside the law, but also at the same time, like, he has the connection with J.K. Simmons' character. And it's still just like, it's not enough for me to grasp on to Batman. And I hate to make the comparison to The Dark Knight, but I feel like I knew more about that Batman through his, well, like,
I mean, we had 3 movies to really understand what the fuck he was going on.
Right. We had 3 movies. Hilariously, my introduction was The Dark Knight, so I missed the first one. Like, I do not know the origins and I had to go back to it. But, like, in that trilogy, you could have started at The Dark Knight and understand what the heck was happening with that Bruce Wayne. But, like, with this version of Bruce Wayne, it's like, I don't know who you are. Obviously, I am a casual, like, DC fan. I'm not understanding you as a character. You just seem like you're harping on Superman, but I don't know why. Like, it's like I have to do homework for this to understand.
Right. No, I agree. And the fact that he was so adamant about, like, we need Superman, we need Superman. But you just spent all of the last movie trying to kill him and trying to stop him.
Right, that's what I understood from that. I'm like, why?
I kind of wish I rewatched that one before I watched this one just to see, like, where was the shift? Was there a shift between one and the other? Or were we supposed to get that in this one, too? Of, like, were we supposed to get a little bit more of his backstory and a little bit more of his arc, but I just missed it because it was just not fresh in my brain. But I kind of said the same thing about Batman, and that, yeah, you're kind of in over your head about with a lot of these things. I'm like, you can handle a dude with exploding penguins. That's fine, because he's kind of just a crazy dude, too, with gadgets.
Gadgets versus gadgets.
It'll be fine. But then when you're dealing with...
aliens. Superhuman.
Aliens and cataclysmic gods. Things. Yeah. It's like, you're kind of out of your element here. Like, you have that... It's still going back to, like, the Avengers and stuff like that. It's like, you're not going to have a physical showdown of, like, Black Widow versus, like, an all-powerful demigod. You don't see a fight between...
We've had that, though. Hilariously, like, if you think about it, it's not a demigod, but, like, I'm thinking about Infinity War, where, like... I do not remember this alien's name, but...
Oh, so she
there's
fights,
like that showdown.
She fights Proxima Midnight, but at the same time, she's about to die until Wanda sends her to a freaking blender.
Right.
Like, all the matchups kind of made sense of, like, this is who stops this one. This is who stops this person, you know? But my whole thing is, like, he's really good at fighting, like, the minions and the bugs and stuff. But when you have a character who can go toe-to-toe with Aquaman and Wonder Woman and send them flying, you trying to put up a fight here, too, it's gonna be bad.
Maybe because Batman versus Superman is just not at the forefront of my brain, slash I don't remember if I've watched it. I probably did not. It was really interesting of a choice for me for Batman to not show up in that, like, first fight. And then he does show up, but he doesn't show up immediately with Lois, if that is his, like, big gun, you know?
Wait, what was that? I was confused.
So, during the fight sequence, right? Superman is on one side of the field. Bruce is on the other side. Diana comes in between them to try to, like, stop them from fighting. But then, like, he just knocks the shit out of her. And then he still gets to Batman anyway. And I'm like, you showing up to this fight, you already know that you're at a complete disadvantage. Just show up with Lois. Like, you could have made that sequence so much shorter.
Oh, so that was the thing. It's like, you're out of those freaking kryptonite canisters that you shot at him in the last movie. So, probably need something different. If you don't know what I'm talking about with that, then you probably didn't watch that movie.
No, I saw that scene. I saw those scenes.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. You know, Batman's a fun character and all, but I agree. It's like, you're out of your league with a lot of this stuff. And I think this is, like, the first time you see him and be like, I definitely am. Still gonna try.
I'm trying to, like, see if I can forgive Batman for it, because I'm like, you're just human. And, like, it's also just, like, even if you are just human, like, you are supposed to be a really good fighter, and I am thinking about, like, the aliens that are in the scene where he brings out the, like, crawler, and he, like, makes the quip where it's like, I didn't bring a sword, but I have guns. And I'm like, that's great. I love this display of power, but you are still getting the shit kicked out of you, so I can't believe that you are important to the plot.
I mean, no, he's important to the plot, but not to the battle.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Because, like, if not for him, none of this would have really taken place. Like, he gathers a team. The team is the one that essentially brings Superman back to life. Like, oh, actually, yeah, it's rough. It's, I don't know.
It just goes back to my last point where it's like, why are they together?
But I guess another thing, and this will go to my final bad point.
Okay.
Things that really didn't need to be there.
Ooh.
Fuck that goddamn Russian family. Why do they exist? Why are you in this movie?
Thank you.
Like, that angered me so much. Like, this had to have been a Joss Whedon move. It had to have been.
You had to be attached to, like, some randos.
No. Do you, though? Do you?
No.
So, like, that was the whole thing. Like, because I know that was a move that they did in Avengers 1 and in Ultron, where the camera every now and then followed a single person. In Avengers, there was that waitress in the yellow dress.
Yes.
In Ultron, it was that girl with her younger brother who is the reason that Quicksilver dies. Like, in both of those movies, you had that element. You had that moment. Was it, like, one of those things where the executives brought him onto this movie and you're like, we need one of those scenes. Make it happen. And he gave us his Russian family, which, fucking why?
They came out of nowhere.
They just shoehorned him in. And then, like, when you could have taken that time to give us more story, like, to give us more character development and bonds between the actual Justice League. No, you give us this family who is scared and boarding up their shack of a house. They're clearly scared, and yet these creatures are just roaming around their house. They're not really doing anything. Which, I'm like, why are you there in the first place? Like, you've seen these creatures tear apart the Batmobile. You clearly have the strength to knock down this house, and yet you did it. Like, why do they exist?
My additional thought for that is that if I'm supposed to have, like, an emotional connection with them, why introduce them in, like, the second to third end part of the movie when we're only gonna be in this town for, like, 2 seconds? Like, it's once again adding more people that we need to be emotionally connected to in a very short amount of time, and it doesn't work here.
Oh, no, not at all. I remembered when I saw this movie, it angered me that they were there. I'm like, why do you exist? And how were you not just killed off in 0.5 seconds? Why were you killed when they first came to your town? Wouldn't you think that if you're gonna do a freaking world-ending event, let's clear out this fucking town so that we can just build and do whatever we want with it?
Okay, logistically, though, yeah. Like, they should have left a while ago. Why did it take them so long?
Not just that. We're gonna board up and, like, barricade the doorways with everything and anything we can find. And yet, now that you see these freaking, like, tendrils from these giant roots crashing through things, now you manage to clear out the back door in 0.5 seconds that you actually managed to get to the truck? Like, what is these things?
Someone should have gotten left behind. You wanna know my favorite part about learning about that family? I think it was the dad or the mom, one of the parents, basically say, someone will come for us. Like, they have hope. And I'm like, where is this misplaced hope? Who is coming for you? Especially if everyone's main focus is that Superman is dead and everyone's harping on the fact that Superman is dead. Who is coming to save you at this point?
I don't know. This movie is a logistical nightmare. And also, I was very confused by this whole thing of... He got all three mother boxes, right?
Right.
And it's like, oh, we have to stop him from putting them together. But he teleports away. He's putting them together. You don't know where he is. You have enough time for Superman to fly off somewhere else, have this whole heart-to-heart with Lois, to have his mom come in, have a heart-to-heart with her. They have time to find the location, suit up, gear up, and go through this huge battle. How did they get there in time?
How many days was that? Is that days?
It should have just been hours. Even within hours. I'm like, it should have just been a loss. How did you have enough time to do all this? It didn't make sense.
Right. My favorite additional logistical problem is that they were like, oh, we figured out it's in Russia. Like, we're not going to make it in time. And then Cyborg just goes, I'll make it happen. And I'm like, huh?
It's like, this plane is not going to make it there in time. It's like, it will for me. Because he can hack into the thing.
That's not how planes work.
At the same time, like, dude, didn't you just hack into the Nightcrawler and it shut down on you halfway through?
Yeah, I didn't understand how that works. You know, superpowers don't make sense.
I'm not sure. Again, logistical nightmare. So, I don't know. There's a lot of things that they can fix. Hopefully they just get rid of that Russian family and that'll be one bad point taken off my list. No offense to them. I hope they got a good chunk of change for that minor role in that movie, but...
All the SAG stuff.
You did not need to be there at all. Ugh,
absolutely not.
But, yeah. Any other...
We made it.
Any other...
No, we made it through the movie. That's my last thought.
I'm surprised you didn't mention any of the CGI in this again. This is the second movie in a row. You didn't mention CGI. Look at you.
I did not want to mention CGI in this one. The reason why I did it is because I'm waiting for the Snyder Cut.
Okay.
Because we're going to get the Snyder Cut, I wanted to wait specifically to see the difference because I want to talk about their suits. That's going to be one of my big ones for next episode.
What about the suits in particular?
It's like suits and the... What is it? The color editing? What is the color editing in, like, movie terms?
I don't know.
Color grading?
Sure. The tone white balance? The film? Not an expert. Out of my field.
The look of the film.
Yeah.
Is, like, what I'm aiming for. Like, in addition to, like, cinematography, like, the tone of all of the colors of the film, plus the CGI, do not work in this film. Because all of their suits look so muted in this film, and I can't tell if that's in addition to CGI, but I want to know if it changes between this cut and Snyder cut of, like, what the look is. Like, is it going to be gritty?
I'm gonna assume it will be, because...
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, the other big Zack Snyder movie that, like, I'm a huge fan was 300.
That's very stylized.
Exactly, so, like, if it's still that kind of style... And, like, that kind of vein, I feel like the color scheme is going to be relatively the same between the two.
Right, and that's what I'm going to be paying attention to for next time. Because for this watch of Justice League, I aim to look at just the plot and, like, me trying to sit down and understand the story as a casual fan. But as, like, when we go into Snyder Cut, what I will be, like, focusing on is not only the plot, but, like, the look of it, because it is, like, something as a viewer you were supposed to enjoy and lose yourself in. And I just don't think I lost myself in, like, an entertaining sci-fi genre film long enough.
That's fair. I mean, for me, it's just gonna be all plot.
It's still gonna be flat.
I really hope that they fix a lot of these problems that they brought up with 4 hours worth of movie. Let's hope that you can do everything right. But we'll see.
It shouldn't take 4 hours. That's my frustration. It should not take 4 hours.
It shouldn't. It really shouldn't. But at the same time, with how much they have to get through, yeah, you kind of do. Because it's like what we talked about. It's like all of their intros were disjointed. There was no connection between...
Four intros.
Yeah, four intros. There was no, like, joint unity between them. So now if you're going to blend their intros into other things a little bit better, if you're going to give that character tension between each, the team tension and resolution, that's going to be an added time as well. If you're going to give us a little bit more of certain characters like J.K. Simmons or a better backstory to Steppenwolf and explain that whole thing a little bit better.
Darkseid, maybe.
Toss in Darkseid, toss in a few other things. There can be a lot of stuff that they need to add, which would make it the 4-hour movie. So here's hoping that, I said it before when we were recording the intro, if there's a part in this 4-hour whatever that didn't need to be there, then you guys still screwed up. Because you're right, a movie does not really need to be that light. So we'll see. But that was a thing.
That was a thing.
If you have any comments, if you have anything you wanted to add on to, chime in on, if we missed anything in between, feel free to reach out to us. Hit us up on social media. Shoot us a DM. You can find us on Instagram at MovieMasochKiss with an S at the end, or on Twitter, MovieMasochKissed singular with an underscore. And on that note, for another episode of Movie Masochist, where we try to find the fun in painful films, my name is Joby.
I'm Kim.
And we will see you next time.